السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
دنیا میں انسان مال خرچ
پیپل ان دس ورلڈ اسپینڈ منی فار دا پرپز آف دیئر اون کمفرٹ اینڈ پرسنل انٹرسٹ اینڈ ایٹ ٹائمز ان دا وے آف چیریٹی اینڈ المز However, there is no other group of people or a community whose members, despite belonging to different cities and countries, but yet are united under one leader and offer their wealth for the purpose of achieving one objective. And that objective is for the propagation of religion and serving humanity. Indeed, there is only one community which is doing this. And that community is the one which has been established by Allah the Almighty Himself for the fulfillment of this objective. It is the community which belongs to the true servant of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it is the community which belongs to the promised Messiah and Mahdi. And it has been tasked with the responsibility of spreading Islam all over the world. And for the last 128 years, this community has been sacrificing its wealth for the cause of serving Islam and humanity. And this is also because the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has granted us the true comprehension of how to spend and sacrifice one's wealth in light of the Quranic teachings. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, I urge you time and again to spend in the way of Allah, as this is an injunction of Allah the Almighty. And Islam is passing through a state of decline. One becomes anxious after witnessing its state of internal and external weaknesses, and Islam is falling prey to other religions. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, then further states, when this is the current state of Islam, then should we not make an effort for its progress? It is for this reason that Allah the Almighty has established this community. Thus, to strive for its progress is in accordance with the injunction and will of Allah the Almighty. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam then states, these glad tidings are also from Allah the Almighty, who states that if one spends in the way of Allah the Almighty, then in return he shall grant one many folds in blessings. One shall receive the rewards in this world and will also experience the comforts in the rewards of the hereafter. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam then further states, thus, at this moment in time, I draw the intention of everyone to spend their wealth for the progress of Islam. The companions of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam understood this and offered their wealth in the way of faith. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned this on many occasions, that how his followers would increasingly excel in their financial sacrifices. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would raise funds for the publication of literature and various other projects. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam spoke of the sacrifice made by Munshi Abdul Aziz Sahib Patwari at the time of when he urged the members to raise funds for Minaratul Masih. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that two sincere members of my community, he in fact mentioned two individuals, Abdul Aziz Sahib and Shadi Khan Sahib. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that two sincere members of my community gave donations for this project, which are worthy of envy for the rest of the members. One of them is Munshi Abdul Aziz, who works as a village registrar in the district of Gurdaspur. And despite his low income, he has contributed 100 rupees towards this project. And in my estimation, these 100 rupees are probably his savings from many years. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam then states that this is also worthy of praise because he has already contributed 100 rupees towards another project. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, the other individual who has shown great valor is Mian Shadi Khan Lakri Frosh from Sialkot. He has recently just contributed 100 rupees towards another project. And now he has given 200 rupees for this particular project. He is a person whose trust in Allah the Almighty is so strong that if one was to assess his total household items, they would perhaps not amount to more than 50 rupees. He has written that since we are passing through a period of famine and trading business seems to be heading towards ruin, therefore it is better to partake in the spiritual trade. And thus, I have sent whatever I had. Similarly, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has cited the example of many other individuals in his books and sayings, who showed the least concern for their own needs and gave preference to advancing in their sacrifice for religious causes. The spirit of sacrifice has been so greatly instilled within the companions of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that one generation after the other continues to offer sacrifices. In fact, even those who live in far-off lands and have newly joined the community, when they hear about the accounts of the sacrifices of these elders, or when they are informed that a sacrifice is required for a particular project, Such people understand the true spirit of sacrifice after hearing the words of Allah the Almighty and produce such examples of sacrifice that one is left astonished. Generally, it is the less affluent who offer a greater number of sacrifices than the wealthy and demonstrate marveling examples. They never entertain the thought that what difference will our small sacrifices make. In fact, they truly understand the word of Allah the Almighty, wherein He states, Meaning, and the case of those who spend their wealth to seek the pleasure of Allah and to strengthen their souls is like the case of a garden on elevated ground. Heavy rain falls on it so that it brings forth its fruit twofold. And if heavy rain does not fall on it, then light rain suffices, and Allah sees what you do. Thus, the sacrifices made by those who are less affluent can be likened to light rain or the morning dew. And the small moisture as a result of their minor sacrifices, which reaches the garden of faith, produces innumerable fruits by the grace of Allah the Almighty. And we can witness for ourselves that despite being a community with such limited resources, we are spreading the message of Islam to every part of the world and serving humanity. And then, out of His grace, Allah the Almighty blesses our work so much that the world is astonished as to how we can achieve so much with yet so little means. However, the reason for this is because those who offer these sacrifices strive to be counted among those regarding whom Allah the Almighty states, meaning those who spend their wealth to seek the pleasure of Allah. And so, when one's objective is to seek the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, then it bears many fruits and carries countless blessings. As I mentioned, that even today there are countless examples of this, and I shall present a select few. When a young woman living thousands of miles away from Qadian embraces Ahmadiyyat, i.e. the true Islam, the transformation in her thought that comes about as a result of it, and the understanding she develops of the concept of sacrifice, is evident from this incident, which is explained in her own words. This young woman living in Uganda is not uneducated. In fact, she studies at university. She says, last July, prior to enrolling into university, I needed to purchase some items, but did not have enough money. I also had some chanda, i.e. monetary contribution, which was outstanding and had yet to be paid. Therefore, I gave the money I had towards chanda. And I had firm faith that Allah the Almighty shall help me, and I had a feeling of contentment as I had paid my chanda. A month later, when there was only 3 days left before the university opened, my auntie phoned my mum and inquired when I was going to start university and also invited me to her house. When I arrived at her house in the evening, she gave me some money, which was far more than what I needed to purchase items for my university, and was 10 times more than the amount I had paid towards Chanda. Thus, Allah the Almighty heard my prayers and provided me with help from where I had no hope whatsoever. Then, Inspector Kamruddin Sahib of India writes about one of the members from there. He writes, one of the members who is from the Jamaat in Manjeri, Kerala, and runs a vaccine business. He says, I went to his shop to collect his contribution for Waqf-e Jadid. But he said that a lot of his money was held up, and therefore he was experiencing quite a lot of difficulty in this regard. However, he still gave a check worth a large sum, and while handing it over, he said that at present he doesn't have enough money in his account, but pray so that he can pay this as quickly as possible. He then states, the next day, I received a phone call from him, and he said that by the grace of Allah the Almighty, after giving the check, he received a large sum of money in his account, and therefore the check can now be cashed. He also said that this was purely due to the blessings of Allah the Almighty that he provided these means. Another example is of a widow in Tanzania in East Africa. The Emir, i.e. the national head of the Jamaat, writes that the Muallim, i.e. the local preacher, visited a widow, Amina Sahiba, in Iringa town in order to collect her contribution towards Waqf-e Jadid. However, she said despondently that at present she did not have anything to give, but as soon as she does, she will come herself and will pay her contribution. The Muallim, who had not even reached his home, but the lady came to him with 10,000 shilling and said she received this amount from somewhere and decided to first pay her chanda and then fulfill her other needs. She also said that her promise for Waqf-e Jadid was 25,000 shillings, and as soon as she receives the remaining 15,000, she will come and pay it. After 10 minutes, she came again with the exact amount and said, look at the way Allah treats a person. I spent 10,000 shillings in His way, and I did not even reach home that Allah the Almighty sent me 45,000 shillings. And after paying the remaining 15,000 shillings, I still have 20,000 shillings. This is purely due to God Almighty and the blessings of Chanda. And so as a result of this incident, her faith increased greatly. I shall present another example from Congo in Central Africa, which shows how the spirit of sacrifice has been instilled in those people and still remains within them. One of the missionaries, Ramiz Sahib, writes that Saidi Sahib, who is one of the local preachers from Kalumbai Jamaat, preaches in the 5 neighboring Jamaats. However, the current situation of the country is quite bad, but despite the security concerns, he visited all of his Jamaats, and in order to earn more reward, he paid all the expenses of his travel from his own pocket, despite his difficult circumstances. And during his visits, he also raised 53,000 for Waqf-e Jadid. He then said that I am an established Ahmadi, and therefore I have to be a model for the youth. However, how established are the Ahmadis there? 15 years, 20 years at the most. And he himself is 60 years old. But not only is he doing the work of Tabligh, i.e. preaching, with such dedication, but is also drawing their attention towards Chanda. And so this is the spirit that is instilled in the people after accepting the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. These people live in remote areas with few roads. In fact, there are no roads. And since it consists mainly of water, they mainly use boats as a means of transport. in which they cover vast distances. Then take note of the example of an Ahmadi from the West African country of Benin. He has not been an Ahmadi for more than a year, but his depth of understanding the spirit of sacrifice is of such a high standard that it is an example for older Ahmadis. The missionary Muzaffar Sahib writes, "This year a new Jamaat was established in a village of the Kartuni region called Dekembe. The local population catch fish and sell it on, i.e. they are fishermen, and that is their livelihood. The local missionary urged the members of that village to give chanda, i.e. monetary contribution. Immediately one of the Ahmadis, who was financially weak, responded to the call and gave 1,000 francs. And he also said that although my situation is such that I am not financially stable, but I do not wish to remain behind in any schemes launched by the community that I am a member of." Then there is an example of the impact Khilafat has in the lives of people, and how it ushers people towards offering sacrifices can be seen in the example of the use of another West African country, Burkina Faso. They have not been Ahmadi for long, but observe the level of their sacrifices. Amin Baloch Sahib, who is a missionary in Burkina Faso, has written the following. He writes, "The last sermon of the previous year, which was delivered on 30th December 2016, was relayed to the residents of the Bafura region and the youths, some of whom were new converts as well as older Ahmadis, went home and brought all they had saved for the New Year celebrations and gave it towards the Waqf-e Jadid scheme. And they said that since the Khalifa has instructed us about the manner in which we should celebrate the New Year, therefore we present this amount towards the scheme. Likewise, we will begin the new year with tahajjud prayers, i.e. voluntary pre-drawn prayers. And on that day, they presented 76,000 francs in contribution. Next, observe the sacrifice of a newly established Jamaat in a small village in the West African country of Ivory Coast. The Muallim, local missionary of Bawake region, whose name is Mahmoudou Sahib, he writes that there is a village Niaguku, whose residents accepted Ahmadiyyat only this year. He says, "I informed the new converts about the importance of Waqf-e Jadid and attending the Jalsa Salana. I also informed them that it was the wish of the Khalifa that every Ahmadi should partake in the Tehreek-e Jadid and Waqf-e Jadid schemes." He says, "Initially, I thought perhaps I will be able to collect only a small amount of contribution, owing to the fact that the majority of the people were underprivileged. However, the opposite proved to be true. In this village, almost every Ahmadi took part in the Waqf-e Jadid scheme and paid their contributions. In fact, one individual not only gave all of his Waqf-e Jadid promise, but also traveled 600 kilometers to attend the Jalsa Salana, i.e. the annual convention." Then a missionary from Tanzania, Yusuf Usman Sahib, writes an incident regarding sacrifice and the treatment received from God Almighty in the following way. He says, "One Ahmadi brother is physically impaired and cannot walk, and as a result he is unable to work. In Tanzania, electricity is not available in every locality, and consequently many people use small solar panels to light a bulb for the home. This Ahmadi brother of ours also uses small solar panels to charge people's phones and earns his livelihood from this. He regularly gives his chanda, i.e. his monetary contribution, from whatever nominal amount he makes. One day the muallim advised him about giving regular contributions, upon which he said that in the recent days he earned 2,000 shillings, and so he will give that in the way of Allah the Almighty. The muallim said, that if you give the entire amount, then what will you feed your children with? He replied, God Almighty is the sustainer, and He will arrange for that Himself. The Muallim Sahib writes that he had just cut the receipt when all of a sudden a rush of people came to charge their mobile phones, which meant that he earned more than what he had given as part of his chanda contribution. The Ahmadi brother turned to the Muallim and said, you have just witnessed the blessings of Allah the Almighty bestowed for paying my chanda. He instantaneously returned to me a greater amount. Then an example of how God Almighty rewards those who sacrifice and increases them in their faith can be witnessed from an incident in Tanzania. The son of one of the members in the Shinyanga region was suffering from malaria, and he only had 1,500 shillings for his son's treatment. The finance secretary went to his house and encouraged him to pay his chanda contributions. He immediately took the same amount from his pocket and gave it. This gentleman writes, at first, I thought to myself, where would he get the money from for his son's medications? But then it dawned on me that he has given the money in the way of God, and he will make arrangements himself. Thus, after a short while, his elder son, who lived in the city, rang and said that he is transferring 80,000 shillings. That money arrived the same day, and he was able to afford the treatment as well as taking care of other aspects. He even recalled that God Almighty granted him manifold, and now he preaches the emphasis of giving chanda, i.e. monetary contribution, to the local Ahmadis. Then there is an incident of individual sacrifice of an Ahmadi in the West African country of Mali. Ahmed Bilal Sahib, who is the missionary there, writes, a gentleman from the Sakasso region accepted Ahmadiyyat in 2013. At the time, he was in debt and was facing financial as well as domestic issues. And on top of that, he was close to his retirement. After joining the Jamaat, he made a solemn pledge that he would pay the chanda on a regular basis. As a result, he regularly started to pay the amount that was stipulated according to his capacity. He says that through the blessings of chanda, he not only became debt-free, but his domestic issues were resolved, and in addition to this, he gained a promotion and also had his retirement deferred. And now the aforementioned gentleman is also part of the Wasiyat scheme. A missionary in Sierra Leone, Munir Hussain Sahib, writes that an Ahmadi woman from the Wajebu Jamaat wrote down a promise of 4,000 leone. She did not have any stable source of income and had a small vegetable garden where she grew cassava, which is a plant which has long roots similar to that of a sweet potato. And she would earn a living by selling them. When the time approached for collecting the contribution, the inspector in charge of collecting went to visit her. However, the money she gathered to give for the contribution was spent by one of the children, and she was greatly perturbed by this. But observe the level of her faith. Her son worked at a wine merchant's. He had no other choice, or perhaps he had not fully accepted Islam. He said that he will give the money as a loan. But the woman strictly declined and stated that the money is not halal, i.e. lawful, and therefore she would not give her contribution from that money. This is the honor and respect of the faith. Nevertheless, the return granted by Allah the Almighty is truly remarkable. If one intends to gain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, then Allah the Almighty rewards that gesture. During this time, an unknown individual came and handed her 10,000 leone. And instead of giving 4,000 leone contribution, she instead gave 10,000 leone and said that God Almighty has granted this to me only to pay my chanda. And for the following year, she wrote down a promise of 10,000 leone as well. Akil Sahib, who is also a missionary from Sierra Leone, writes that a new convert in the Bow region was engulfed in a struggle over a piece of land for some time. And the opposing individual was a very influential figure. Seemingly, there was no chance for him to win the case. However, during this time, he heard of the blessings in donating to the mosque fund. The gentleman writes, "When I heard of the blessings in donating to the mosque fund, I decided to give a contribution towards it. Perhaps this new convert became an Ahmadi leaving Christianity, and he thought that from this contribution, my land issue may be resolved. Thus, he donated according to his capacity. And so, within a space of a short time, the case was settled in his favor, which seemed to be impossible at the beginning. He said, I am convinced that this was all down to the blessings of financial sacrifice." Shahid Saib, a missionary from Congo Kinshasa, writes, "There was a woman who ran a small-scale trading business. In the beginning of the year, owing to the situation of the country, she thought that she would not make a profit. She had given her contribution for Waqf-e Jadid schemes at the beginning of the year and said that any transaction done with God cannot go to waste. She stated that by the grace of Allah the Almighty, she made a profit, and despite the situation of the country, she did not incur any loss to the business. In respect to how much giving sacrifice has an impact on others and opens avenues for the missionaries, the Emir of Bangladesh writes that three individuals were being preached to. However, none of them were prepared to perform the bath, i.e. pledge of initiation. On the previous Friday, these three gentlemen came to the mosque to offer their Friday prayers, during which the members were encouraged to give their Waqf-e Jadid contributions. After the prayers, the members of the congregation formed lines to give their contributions. When these gentlemen, who were still being preached to, saw this spectacle, they said, our Maulvis, our religious clerics, ask us for contributions and exhaust all their efforts in the process, and still people do not give contributions. However, here a small announcement was made and long queues were formed as a result of it. And so, this is the actual spirit of Islam. Consequently, the three gentlemen immediately performed the bayt and also gave contribution towards the Waqf-e Jadid scheme. Then a missionary from Benin, Abdullah Sahib, writes that I visited a community of new converts in Pabaza in order to collect chanda from them. A new convert there by the name of Haji Abu Bakr Sahib asked him that where the money comes from and how will it be spent, as he was not aware of the financial system. When it was explained to him that the Ahmadiyya community uses that money to build mosques, translations of the Holy Quran, publications of religious books, as well as building hospitals, schools and orphanages. In short, it was explained that all the money is spent on various religious and welfare programs. When Abu Bakr Sahib heard all this, he said, Maulvis would take zakat and various other contributions from me, but they would never explain where the money would be spent. Thus, after this, he immediately gave the contribution and said that in future he will readily participate in all the financial schemes of the Jamaat. In short, we have observed that Allah the Almighty grants the community of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam such people who are ever ready to offer monetary sacrifices. When they accept Ahmadiyyat, a new desire burns within them to sacrifice for the faith of Allah the Almighty. However, this is a point that should be remembered by those who live in better conditions. In fact, it is a matter of great concern for those that Allah the Almighty has granted affluence and they live in first world countries, but yet their sacrifices are very nominal. Nevertheless, even here there are those who offer extraordinary sacrifices. However, there are many people in all parts of the world who are well off, but they pay little attention towards this. And they should ponder over this matter. as is customary to announce the start of the new year of Waqf-e Jadid on the first Friday of January. Therefore, after mentioning a few examples, and although there were many, however, I only selected a few in order to share the importance of paying chanda. Now I will announce the start of the 60th year of Waqf-e Jadid. And I will also mention the blessings of Allah the Almighty in relation to last year's collections. The Waqf-e Jadid year finishes on December 31st. And so the 59th year of Waqf-e Jadid ended on December 31st, 2016. According to the reports that have been received thus far, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Jamaats from all around the world have presented a total sacrifice of £8,020,000. And this year's Waqf-e Jadid is £1,129,000 more than last year's collection. And once again, this year Pakistan is on the top of the list and leads all the Jamaats in the world in terms of overall contribution. As compared to last year, Ghana is on the top of the list in terms of increase in amount according to local currency. So first is Ghana, country from West Africa, then Germany, then Pakistan. Amongst the countries of Africa, the most notable countries in regards to contribution are Mali, Burkina Faso, Liberia, South Africa, Sierra Leone, and Benin. In terms of overall collection, other than Pakistan, the first 10 Jamaats amongst the Western countries are UK is first, Germany is second, America is third, Canada is fourth, India is fifth, Australia is sixth. Then there is a Jamaat from Middle East. Indonesia is eighth. Another country from the Middle East is ninth. And Ghana is 10th. And then Belgium and Switzerland come after that. In terms of collection per individual, America is first, then Switzerland, Finland, Australia, Singapore, France, Germany, Trinidad, Belgium, and then Canada. However, UK is far behind despite the fact that it came first in terms of overall collection amongst the Western countries. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, this year 1,134,000 members participated, which is 105,000 more than last year. In terms of increase in number of participants, other than Canada, India and the UK, the following countries in Africa have made a notable effort: Guinea-Conakry, Cameroon, Gambia, Senegal, Benin, Niger, Congo-Kinshasa, Burkina Faso and Tanzania. This year, Nigeria has not paid enough attention towards this because their number of participants have significantly dropped. If their numbers had been the same as last year, as well as a few other countries, or even if only Nigeria's numbers had remained the same, then the number of participants would have been 1,400,000 instead of 1,134,000. This means that either there was a lot of indolence shown, or the report was not compiled properly, or reports were not collected properly. However, as far as the sincerity of the members of the Jamaat is concerned, it is not lacking, regardless of whether it is in Africa or any other country. The members were not approached properly. And generally, it is the negligence from the secretaries. A person from Rabwa wrote to me that the sadr of a particular Jamaat came to him and said that there has not been any promise for Waqf-e Jadid made by him, and nor have any payments been made. He said that how could this be possible, as he had been paying quite regularly. He replied that this happened because the secretary of Waqf-e Jadid this year was so lazy that promises were not taken from anyone in that area, and nor any collections were received in a proper manner. And so it is evident from this that people sometimes are deprived due to the negligence of the secretaries for Waqf-e Jadid. And I think that this is what happened in Nigeria too. Other than this, there has also been a decrease in the number of participants in America also. However, there can be no excuse for this decrease in their number. Neither is there any reason for Nigeria to have a reduced number of participants, because the number has to increase. However, mashallah, as I said, America, though, has increased its collection per individual. It is first in that regard. Similarly, all those countries that have a lower number of participants this year, as compared to last year, should focus on the number of participants, and they should assess their weaknesses. People do not have any weakness. Rather, there is a weakness in those who are working. Amongst the adult paying members, which is also a department in Waqf-e Jadid, within the Jamaats from Pakistan, Lahore is first, then Rabwa, and then Karachi. And amongst the other Jamaats, it is Islamabad, Gujranwala, Gujarat, Multan, Umarkot, Hyderabad, Peshawar, Mirpur Khas, Okara, and Dera Ghazi Khan. In the list of Jamaats, according to the office of Atfal, i.e. the sacrifice offered by children, Lahore is first, then Rabwa, and then Karachi. Then it is Sialkot, Rawalpindi, Gujranwala, Gujarat, Hyderabad, Dera Ghazi Khan, Kotli, Azad Kashmir, Mirpur Khas, Multan, and Bahawalnagar. According to overall collection, the 10 big Jamaats are Worcester Park, Masjid Fazal, Birmingham South, Putney, Rains Park, Bradford, New Malden, Glasgow, Birmingham West, and then Gillingham. According to the overall collection amongst the regions, in the UK, London B is first, then London A, Midlands, North East, and then South. With regards to collection, the 5 leading Jamaats of Germany are Hamburg, Frankfurt, Wiesbaden, Moorfelden-Walldorf, and then Dietzenbach. And in terms of overall collection, the 10 Jamaats in Germany are Rodemark, Neuss, Freiburg, Nida, Flossheim, Hanau, Cologne, Koblenz, Legensen, and Mehdiabad. The first 10 Jamaats of America are Silicon Valley, Seattle, Detroit, Silver Spring, Central Virginia, Los Angeles East, Dallas, Boston, Philadelphia, and Laurel. The following are amongst the leading Canadian Jamaats: Calgary, Peace Village, Vaughan, Vancouver, and Mississauga. The 5 large Canadian Jamaats, according to collection, are Durham, Hamilton East, Saskatoon South, Saskatoon North, Windsor, then Lloydminster, Ottawa West, Ottawa East, Barrie, and then Regina. According to the Office of Atfal, the following Jamaats have the top 5 positions in Canada. They are Durham, Bradford, Saskatoon South, Saskatoon North, and Lloydminster. The position according to regions in Canada is Calgary, Peace Village, Brampton, Vaughan, and Weston. The position of provinces in India are Kerala, Jammu Kashmir, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Telangana, Odisha, West Bengal, Punjab, Uttar Pradesh, Delhi, and Maharashtra. The top 10 Jamaats in India are Kerala, Calicut, Hyderabad, Pathapriyam, Gadian, Kinol Town, Calcutta, Bangalore, Salore, and Pangadi. The top positions of the Jamaats in Australia are Castle Hill, Brisbane, Logan, Marsden Park, Perth, Adelaide South, Flemington, Canberra, Langwarrin and Adelaide West. May Allah the Almighty bless the wealth and the individuals who offered sacrifices. And in the future, may He activate the related office holders in that they are able to do their work more efficiently and they strive to overcome their weaknesses. Also, there should be an increase in the number of those participating. Although the overall amount increases, however, it is necessary to include everyone, even if they participate by contributing a small amount. Also, after the Friday prayers, I will lead two funeral prayers in absentia. The first funeral is that of Asma Tahira Sahiba, who was the wife of Mirza Khalil Ahmed Sahib, and she passed away on 23rd December 2016 in Canada at the age of 79. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was born in Bagalpur in June 1936. Her father's name was Maulvi Abdul Baki Sahib and her mother was Safiya Khatun Sahiba. Her father worked in the factory of our community and was the president of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in Kunri for a very long period of time. Her paternal grandfather was Hazrat Ali Ahmed Sahib, and he was the companion of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. The incident of him taking the oath of allegiance is narrated by respected Amatun Nur Sahiba. She narrates that she heard that Hazrat Ali Ahmed Sahib came to Qadian when he was a student of 9th grade. At the station in Amritsar, Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi tried to stop him from going to Qadian. However, he replied to Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi that my mother has sent me to Qadian to investigate the fulfillment of the sign of the solar and lunar eclipse. And this action of yours has made the truthfulness of Mirza Sahib evidently clear to me. Because why would a scholar of your status waste his time to respond to the false claimant of the prophethood? All your struggle and wastage of your time makes it clear that Mirza Sahib is truthful. On the 6th of January 1964, Asma Sahiba got married. And as I said, she was the wife of Mirza Khalil Ahmed Sahib. Mirza Khalil Ahmed Sahib was the son of Hazrat Muslim Aoud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and was the maternal grandson of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And her mother was Sahibzadi Amatul Hay Sahiba. Respected Asma Tahira Sahiba served centrally as the General Secretary and Secretary Ziyafat for the Ladies Auxiliary Organization, and later she had an opportunity to serve as a member of the Project for Worldwide Preaching. Asma Tahira Sahiba's father passed away in 1975, and after that her mother stayed with her. I also personally know Asma Tahira Sahiba, as she was my maternal auntie. And I know that she maintained a bond of extreme love and affection with her in-laws, her sister-in-laws, and other relatives and friends. I went to see her when she was poorly, and she was in Canada, and when I was there, I went to see her. And she was not even able to move. However, she was so humble that when I was in Canada, she asked her family to get her clothes and get her ready in case, she said about me, he calls me for mulaqat. So instead of sending me a message to go and see her, she was expecting that I will ask her to come to see me. In any case, I went to see her and she was very pleased about this. She did not have any children of her own, so she had adopted a niece of hers when she was 5 years old. Her adopted daughter says that she treated me like a real daughter carried out all the ceremonies of the wedding and left nothing to chance for her moral training. She says, whenever I used to get stressed, she would always advise me to pray and say that with prayers, these problems can be solved. She had unwavering faith in supplication. She used to love children and used to pay special attention to their moral training. She used to advise that you must take your children to the mosque. If you keep them engaged with the mosque, they will not go astray and will not be ruined. Her daughter says that she also advised her to sign up to the institution of the will. And she always used to advise to maintain a bond of commitment with the Jamaat. She used to treat those who were working for her with the greatest respect. And she had a maid living with her. And she directed her adopted daughter to take good care of the maid after she has gone. And do not ask her to move out of her living quarters where she lived. May Allah the Exalted treat her with forgiveness and mercy. Ameen. The second funeral is that of respected Chaudhry Hamid Nasrullah Khan Sahib, who passed away in Lahore on 4th January 2017 at the age of 83. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The paternal grandfather of Chaudhry Hamid Nasrullah Khan Sahib was Hazrat Chaudhry Nasrullah Khan Sahib and was a companion of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. And his maternal grandfather was Hazrat Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Sial Sahib, who was also a companion of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. His father, Chaudhry Muhammad Abdullah Khan Sahib, served as the president of the Jamaat in Lahore for a very long period of time. Chaudhry Zafullah Khan Sahib was his paternal uncle as well as his father-in-law. In 1964, Hamid Nasrullah Khan Sahib was married to Ummatul Hay Sahiba, the daughter of Chaudhry Zafullah Khan Sahib. Their children are Mustafa Nasrullah Khan, Ibrahim Nasrullah Khan, who passed away at the age of 16, and a daughter, Aisha Nasrullah. Chaudhry Hamid Nasrullah was married to the daughter of Chaudhry Zafullah Khan Sahib, who had previously been married to Dr. Ijazul Haq Sahib, from whom she bore two sons, Muhammad Fazlul Haq and Ahmed Nasrullah. On 5th February 1994, Ahmed Nasrullah was martyred in Lahore. Therefore, he currently had two sons and a daughter. He always kept the children of his wife from her previous marriage with him, and he did so with great affection and considering them to be his own children. In 1975, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III appointed him as the president of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat in Lahore. And by the grace of Allah the Exalted, he served as the president of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat in Lahore for 43 years. However, in 2009, his health was declining, and upon my instructions to assess his condition, and then to inform me, he said that it is fine, I will excuse myself from work. However, I do so for the reason that my health does not permit me to work, because the work of a president is very vast. Following that, Sheikh Munir Sahib was appointed as the new president, who was then martyred in 2010. He served as the president until around 2008 or 2009. During the conditions of opposition in 1974, even though he was not officially the president, however, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III had given him many responsibilities, which he fulfilled in a very handsome manner. He also rendered great services when the Justice Inquiry Commission was established in the High Court in 1974. And during the period of trials in 1984, he also rendered various services during the proceedings of the case in the Federal Shariat Court in Lahore. He also holds the honor of accompanying Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV from Rabwa to London on the occasion of his migration from Pakistan. As a matter of fact, as far as I'm aware, he was the one who drove the car from Rabwa to Karachi. During his presidency, the Darul Zikr Mosque in Lahore was further expanded, and that is continuing even today. Nevertheless, a lot of work was done. Many beautiful mosques were added in Lahore during his presidency. And similarly, was the Ahmadiyya Jamaat in Lahore enabled to make handsome financial sacrifices during his presidency. He was also serving as the president of the Fazl-e Umar Foundation for the previous 32 years. In 1984, as I mentioned, he was enabled to accompany Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV during the migration from Pakistan to England. And he has also been mentioned in the book written by Ian Adamson. Chaudhry Munawar Sahib, who is the Secretary of General Affairs in Lahore, writes that Hamid Nasrullah Khan Sahib greatly cared for the people working with him. He cared for their smallest of needs, and if he was ever asked for advice, he would give it with great love and affection. He further states that I had served as the Qaidai, the youth leader of the district of Lahore for 9 years. However, I have never witnessed him display any displeasure regarding any matter. He greatly cooperated in the tasks of Khudam al-Ahmadiyya, i.e. the Auxiliary Organization for the Youth. I had the opportunity to host 5 ijtimaats, our youth gatherings outside of Lahore, in which he greatly guided us, and he would guide us in every single respect. Chaudhry Hamid Nasrullah Khan Sahib also had great organizational skills and would do everything on time and on its occasion. He visited every Jamaat and had a personal relationship with the presidents of the different areas. He considered the members of the Amla, i.e. the administrative body, to be his friends and helping hands. Hakim Tariq Sahib states that he was imbued with the obedience to Khilafat. He used to treat the employees and workers of the Jamaat with utmost kindness and love, and he trusted them greatly and showed huge respect to them. And as long as he served with me as the president, while previously I was the Nazir-e-Ala, i.e. national head of Pakistan during that time, he used to render his full cooperation to the Markaz, i.e. center, and serve with complete obedience. Thus, he also worked with me in my capacity as Nazir-e-Ala, and later on, after my assuming the office of Khilafat, as long as he remained the president of Lahore, he served with full cooperation, and he was very passionately obedient. Colonel Naim Siddiqui Sahib, who is the Vice President of the Lahore region, writes that when he would start narrating incidents of his attachment with Khilafat, he would continue forever. Colonel Naseem Sahib narrates an incident that once Hamid Nasrullah Sahib was travelling towards Bahawalpur for some business. When he received a message from Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III, ordering him to come to Rabwah, and he had almost reached Bahawalpur, but cancelled his plans in Bahawalpur and immediately returned to Rabwah overnight. He reached before the Fajr prayer, and he used to say that he started to take a stroll outside the residence. And when he saw that it is the time for the Tahajjud prayer, or the time between Fajr and Tahajjud prayers, he then sent the message to inform Hazur that he had arrived. He had established allowances for the poor, not only on his own behalf, but also on behalf of his wife, father, and on behalf of Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib. And whenever an application was received, requesting an allowance, he would mark on it that the allowance should be issued from my account, or the account of my wife, or some other account. And this has also been correctly reported to me, that Hamid Nasrullah Khan Sahib himself was a history of Jamaat Ahmadiyya Lahore. In any case, he had been bestowed the ability of a leader by Allah the Almighty, and he used to utilize it properly. Nasir Shams Sahib, who is also the current secretary of Fazl-e Umar Foundation, writes, and I have already mentioned that he presided over Fazl-e Umar Foundation for 32 years. After the demise of Hazrat Chaudhry Saifullah Khan Sahib, he was appointed as the president of Fazl-e Umar Foundation in 1986, and he was enabled to serve Fazl-e Umar Foundation as its president for almost 32 years till his final breath. He was a very sympathetic and compassionate, kind, gentle and cheerful individual. The scope of his public relations was very wide, and he always utilized those connections to the benefit of the Jamaat. He was an extremely sincere and selfless servant of the community. He was a true helper of the Khulafa and had a great regard for Khilafat. He was a loyal individual, and despite his physical weakness and ill health, he used to attend the meetings of the foundation. He was very sound of judgment and perceptive, and due to this God-given ability, he was able to acquire deep insight into matters. And after that, he used to pass his judgments based upon the mutual consultation. Mirza Nadeem Sahib states that he personally narrated this incident to me, that when he was appointed as the president of the Lahore Jamaat in 1975, he went to see Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III in Rabwah, as he was very worried. He sent in a request to meet Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III, and when he called him in and asked him what the matter was and what had brought him there, he responded that he was not worthy of holding such an office. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III replied that you should first eat, as it was time for food. However, Chaudhry Sahib continued to repeat the same thing. Then he states that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III put his hand on my shoulder and said that the Khalifa of the time has appointed you as the president, and the Khalifa of God knows better. He used to say that many a troubling situation arose after that, but by the grace of Allah the Almighty, I never became worried, and due to the prayers of Khilafat, all my issues were resolved. May Allah the Almighty forgive him and have mercy on him and elevate his status and enable his progeny to remain attached to Khilafat and the Jamaat with loyalty, and may he enable them to resume the legacy of his good deeds.
لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.